Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with Craig Mueller. He's a candidate for Nevada Attorney General on the Republican side. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Nathan Anderson, president of the Washoe Education Association, and Melissa Bozen, president of the Washoe Education Support Professionals. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Two tickets to the Rolling Stones, $800. Designer scarves, $1,100. Gift certificates to Nordstrom, $5,000. Just some of the gifts career politician Chris G has taken, including from lobbyists and vendors. No wonder she voted to allow lobbyists to give secret meals and gifts to politicians like her. Perks from lobbyists, pay raises, political payments to her family. Chris G, she's what's wrong with politics.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome to the program Craig Mueller. He's candidate for Nevada Attorney General. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Let's start out with one of the situations that's facing Nevada, which is with our legal marijuana industry. One of the biggest problems we have is that we have no place for people to bank. So people are carrying around large amounts of cash. They're going to pay their taxes in cash. This looks like a nightmare about to happen.
Yes, sir. I agree, actually, and I addressed one of the marijuana trade groups. My core of my being, my political philosophy, is strict interpretation of the state constitution and the federal constitution. I don't know why that's not a 10th Amendment, and I will defend the marijuana industry under the 10th Amendment, whether I like it or not. The reality is that's the law of the state. Banking. We can, as a state sovereign, charter our own banks. Now, I've checked into this. I made a couple phone calls. What we typically do right now is the state can adopt regulations and they mirror the federal regulations. So that's why there's no place to go. But all we would have to do is a simple bill or even maybe administrative change, and we could start charter state banks. And
why do you think that hasn't happened yet?
I don't know, sir. I live in Las Vegas, and you know this is Carson City, and I do my best to keep up with things over the last few years, but it would seem to me to be an easy fix.
And it's one of, obviously, a large revenue driver for the state.
Yes,
and
sir.
Something that we need to have, and I couldn't imagine that that would be the worst signal in the world if there were to be some kind of armed robbery connected to the marijuana industry.
Yes, sir. I would be very nervous as a businessman if all my assets were tied up in cash somewhere. I couldn't agree with you more.
Let's talk about something else. I went through your website to familiarize myself with your issues. One of the things that you're doing, which I haven't really seen in a campaign since Dick Bryan was running years ago, which is you're being tougher on crime. My question to you is, are you going to be tough on white-collar crime or violent crime, all crime? Because it seems like the national motion at this point in time, even with Republicans controlling the White House and both houses of Congress, is that nonviolent offenders, there's a better way to go than locking them up.
Oh, absolutely. And if you did go through my website, you saw a couple of very specific proposals. And I have done my level best not to talk down to people. If you've seen my videos, I lay out in detail specifically how things need to be addressed. Nonviolent criminals don't need to go to prison, and I agree 100%. Number two, if you take 100 young men, you know, and the nature of growing up is young men have immature judgment. Bad judgment creates mistakes. Mistakes create experience. Experience creates good judgment. And that's a process that all of us go through. Hopefully most of us don't get in trouble with the law. So if you take 100 young men, and I'm not 100 young men is your criminal base, out of that 100 young men, about 95 or 97% are knuckleheads. I'm sure that's not politically correct, but they're kids who didn't think things through. Hey, wouldn't it be great if, and any one of us would say, wait a minute, that's not a good idea. So they do something silly. Send those kids to boot camp. That boot camp is one of the only two or three effective programs I know of in the state. Send those kids to boot camp. Get them out of the system. And if you send a kid to boot camp in that category of guy, then they're out of the system. And over the 25 years I've been involved in criminal law, both as a prosecutor and defense attorney, the only time I hear from a boot camp graduate again is for a speeding ticket or a Christmas card. I never hear from them again. Now, tough on crime is smart on crime. Number one, I'm as offended by white-collar crime as I am by street crime. And I have no trouble going after white-collar criminals. Number two, or the thing about the other 3 or 4% of my 100 database is those are the sociopaths, those are the predators. Those are the guys who get up every day, just like you come in here, I go to the court. Those guys get up and figure out how to take something from somebody else. Those men, once they have they are demonstrably irredeemable, need to go to prison. The reason we go tough on those guys is that they're career criminals. That's why we have a state statutory scheme for career criminals and habitual offenders. And the quickest way to get those guys off the street is go after them as ex-felons in possession of firearms. Because, and this takes a moment to go through, but follow my reasoning. And this is my experience. If a young man gets in trouble and he now has a felony conviction, it is unambiguously clear. You can't get out of the legal system without you knowing that you're not allowed to have a gun. If you have a gun knowing that you're not allowed to, we know two things. Number one, that you live a lifestyle that requires a gun on you, which generally is a pretty good indicator that you're up to no good. If you go hard on the guys you catch with guns that are now ex-felons, you will drive crime down dramatically. Now, you, blessedly, up here in Washoe County aren't experiencing this. Right now, Clark County is experiencing a massive spike in crime. We just came out, the newspaper came out yesterday, Las Vegas is now one of the fourth or fifth worst places to live because of the crime. The crime numbers from 16 to 17 alone, 14% increase in crime. And that was a 14 to 15, 15 to 16, 16 to 17, up high single and in some cases double digits across the board. The Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department lost control of the streets, and we need to do something about it. Now, that's a local issue, strictly speaking. I'm running as a statewide candidate, but that's a large percentage of the state. So I've called for tougher penalties for street crime, specifically for ex-felon in possession of firearms. Now, I'm sorry that's not a short, soundbite answer, but that's my explanation on the issue.
Okay, thank you.
I wanted to turn to a lawsuit that you filed against your Republican primary opponent, Wes Duncan. You contend he solicited campaign donations from businesses he held authority over. And yet Nevada laws allows public employees to raise money for their political campaigns as long as they don't do it on the job. So maybe could you explain your racketeering lawsuits, which is filed under RICO statutes?
RICO is absolutely, and I'm dead honest. He's committed a crime. Now, I want to explain two subtle, or not even subtle, but very different ideas. One is if you are working as a government employee and you're running for an office unrelated to your employment, say you're a welder, I represented a welder for the school district once, who wants to go be a city councilman? You can raise money in your off hours, and that's true, and nobody has any complaint with that. That's not my complaint. My complaint is this is a regulator, a person who regulates. That's a different category of employee. He was a regulator at a government agency, which on its own website and every piece of paper says they regulate the gaming industry. Then as a regulator, he called and asked the people he regulated with matters pending before the Gaming Control Commission for campaign donations. If you saw my video, you saw I read the law. It's NRS, Nevada Revised Statute 197.170. Any person who regulates an industry shall not solicit, or anything of value from people he regulates.
Excuse me, let me just interrupt for a moment. The regulators of the game industry are the Gaming Control Board and the Gaming Commission, correct? They are
yes,
not
sir.
The Attorney General's office.
The Attorney General's office actually is a regulatory agency under statute and scheme.
But of gaming versus the authority of the Gaming Commission and the Gaming Control Board?
Yes, sir. They provide legal counsel to the Gaming Control Commission and the Gaming Control Board. Mr. Duncan, I don't allege anything. I'm used the words of Mr. Duncan himself. Every element of the crime is there. Now, I spoke with Mr. Duncan. I told him that he should give this money back. Clark County, we had a deputy or a district attorney took money from industries he regulated, the topless clubs in those days. He gave all the money back. I told Mr. Duncan he needs to give the money back. I told him again that he needed to give the money back. He refuses, and I filed a lawsuit. Now, I didn't send out a press release on this. This isn't a public relations affair, okay? Mr. Duncan was the one who brought it to everyone's attention. My intent was to send over a cover letter like, look, son, you need to give this money back. He hasn't done it, and this lawsuit is not politics. This is law, and this is going to end one of two ways. He's either going to give that money back, or I'm going to have a judge tell me no. But I've shopped that through about 300 years of criminal law experience. Every senior attorney in the state in Clark County, they looked at the law, they looked at the fact, they looked at the articles. Not one of them breathe the syllable of dissent with my view.
All right, let's take a break. But in the meantime, I do want to say that it may be the law, but it's also politics because you're in a campaign. Let's
True.
Take a break, and we'll be right back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia. Yeah.
Across the country, power predators are being brought to justice for their alleged unlawful behavior against women. So why is Sheriff Antonoro, an alleged rapist and admitted sexual predator, still in office and running for re-election in Story County? In his own deposition, he admits to sexual harassment and deviant behavior and must be held accountable. Story County residents deserve to be protected, not preyed upon. Enough is enough, Sheriff Antonoro. Time's up. The election on June 12th is a Me Too moment for Story County.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
Hell's Radio!
The Reno Rodeo. Come celebrate 99 years. It's a tradition. June 14th through the 23rd. Get your tickets today.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Craig Mueller. He's a candidate for Nevada Attorney General.
Mr. Mueller, in the last segment, we were talking about a racketeering lawsuit that you filed against Wes Duncan, your primary opponent in the Republican primary. You say that he has taken money or donations from businesses that he regulates.
Yes, sir.
Okay, what about, I don't know if this is an apples-to-apples comparison, but what about judges who run for re-election and take donations from attorneys who have cases before them?
Actually, there's an entire set of canons and rules that govern that, and that it's a whole separate body of law that what judges can and can't do. Now, if you want to take on electing judges, well, that's a different discussion. But the reality is there's a whole set of different rules. There are candidates, judicial candidates, who will not accept donations and let people appear in front of them. Judge Chafin down in Justice Court, Clark County Justice Court, is one of those judges. Now, I don't believe there's a perfect way of electing judges and or selecting them. In federal court, they tend to be arrogant and condescending because they're appointed for life. in state court, they tend to be political and more responsive to politics than the law. But that's, you know, it's human nature. So we're not, either way, you're not going to get a perfect system.
What happens to this lawsuit after the primary?
Doesn't go anywhere. Wes is going to pay the money back, or a judge is going to tell me I'm wrong, but I'm not.
So you're going to pursue this suit no matter what the outcome of the primary is?
Yes, sir. Okay. It's a lawsuit. He's violated the law.
Quick question, quick answer here. You're for the death penalty, but you're against abortion. And there are a lot of people that look at that and go, those two things don't add up.
Well, no, they actually, in my mind, they're very consistent. I went to the Naval Academy. I can, without even thinking about it, can name 15 young men who are dead for errors of judgment much smaller than you find in a murder case. Actions have consequences. Those are the realities of it. Number two, abortion is just an awful practice. You're terminating a life, and I don't approve of that.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much for coming
sure.
in. We sure appreciate it. And good luck on the campaign trail. We'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Our dad's a big guy.
Hey, I'm at the gym every morning.
But as a single dad, he taught us that big or small,
you always stand up to bullies.
Like Trump.
Always tell the truth.
Wish my opponent learned that.
And always do the right thing.
Like take on the NRA and give teachers a raise.
And stop Republicans from closing Planned Parenthood.
I got it.
So when you come here, remember, he'll take on the bullies.
But he's also a big guy with a big heart.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome to the program Natha Anderson. She's the president of the Washoe Education Association.
Thank you.
And Melissa Bozen, who is president of the Washoe Education Support Professionals. Pleasure to have you both here.
Thank you.
Tell us about the rally this weekend.
Sure. This last weekend, we had about 150 people-ish who came out to show support for public education throughout the entire Washoe County area. Because we know that if we want to make changes to public education, it starts at the ballot box. So we had a little get out the vote rally and reminded people that if we want better funding, we've got to elect people that have made that a priority.
Let me ask you this, you know, because it's interesting, between the realities of teaching and the political process, they're really two different things. It's kind of like running for office and governing are two different things. I don't know anybody that is not in favor of education and educating their kids. And I think the question that always comes up is, you know, are we spending the money in the best ways? So can you address that a little bit?
Certainly. We know that there are critics of public education, for sure, and that there are candidates that do run on a pro-education platform. However, sometimes, like we said earlier, you make a campaign promise, and then when it gets time to deliver, you are not delivering what you are promising for. So that is why, in cooperation with WEA and with also our state association, NSEA, we have interviewed all of the candidates that are running, and that's why we endorse the pro-education candidates. And that's why it is so important that we bring attention and that we put education back up to where it is priority. We all say that we want to fund education, but as we can see very clearly, it is not a priority for education to become funded the way
really,
that it should
be. Really, do you not think so? Because, I mean, for example, over the last 8 years, Brian Sandoval has made that a really big deal as a Republican, but I think that as a governor, he has moved more to a centrist position than being far to the right in any way. But he's devoted a lot of resources to education. Ruben Murillo, who's the president of the NSCA, was on this program, I guess, about a year ago now, and I asked him how much money, additional money, the legislature needed to put toward education, and he said $1 billion. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's realistic?
First of all, yes. But first, let's go into the Governor Sandoval. He has done some great things, but they're for very specific programs. And so many of these programs are only for very specific zip codes. We believe, and I believe Ruben would be with us on this, is that every child deserves those funding choices. And so when we're having these funds for very specific programs, such as Zoom, such as Read by Three, we need to increase that funding so that way it can be offered for all of our students. $1 billion, believe it or not, with everything that we're being asked to do, mandated, both federally as well as national, or excuse me, statewide, it will barely get us to where we need to be. Years ago, I want to say in the early 2000s, maybe even late 90s, there was an adequacy study done from the legislature to say how much money is necessary to be able to fund education where it needs to be. At that point, it was just shy of $1 billion. So that's where Ruben's getting his numbers from, is that adequacy study and everything that we're being required to do as educators, whether we're teachers or support staff, bus drivers, counselors, speech pathologists, where do we get the time? And that's kind of where that money's coming from that we're asking for.
One of the things that's interesting is that, you know, despite the need, we see great shortages of teachers, especially in Southern Nevada. And, you know, the question is, how do we address that? Is it simply more money, or is it something else that we need to be able to bring additional teachers?
So there is also a shortage not only in the teachers' population as well as the ESP population. So we have shortages on both ends. Those that teach and those that, you know, do the support. One of the great things that we can do is not by throwing money at it, but by making it a career choice that you want to make. I cannot speak for the teachers, but I know that the demand on them, I see it from my own kids' teachers, how stressed out they are, how overworked they are. I can see it from my own students. Not only that, but I can also see it from the point of view of my ESPs. ESPs, we only have 2 copier techs for the entire district. That's over 101 sites, and there's only 2 copier techs that go out and maintain and repair the copiers that are in there. Bus drivers, we have a bus driver shortage. Bus drivers are only making $15.77 an hour, and they are the ones that bring the students to the schools. They are the first and possibly the last people to see our students. So we have a shortage overall. And I don't know if it's just throwing money at it. I know that would help, for sure. But I don't know if that is the only thing, and I don't know if Nathan wants to add anything.
If I could.
Sure.
I think the other thing also that will help us is we have so many people leaving the profession within 5 years. As I, again, can speak for the teachers and the counselors and the speech pathologists. Funding is one, yes. But the other thing is also the amount of responsibilities. We keep on getting more and more added to our plate, and yet we're not seeing an expansion of time. We're not seeing an expansion of resources to help us with this. So those items all make a difference. But the other thing also is the discipline, which I know doesn't seem like a big deal, but when we have a student that gets below a C in high school, let's say, which is what I taught, we are required to contact the parents and say, there's a possibility that your child will not be graduating or not getting the credit for this. Where do we find the time for that? So what are we doing? We're doing emails. We're leaving messages. We never hear back. Our parents care. And they want to be part of it, but where do we find the time to be able to talk with people?
Okay, so what you're saying is that when there's a problem, you're emailing the parents and calling, but they're not responding.
Many times, no.
Because?
I think a lot of it has to do with timing, because again, we are at school, and I'm going to use my experience after 22 years of teaching North Valleys High School. I would get there at 7 a.m. I would usually leave about 5. So you're there from 7 to 5. So parents are usually working from 8 to 5 as well. Emails can always happen, that's great, but you don't always get those right away. So when exactly do we get a chance to be able to talk with people? And so many times we would be doing those phone calls at 7 or 8 o'clock at night. Parents would be like, I want to be able to spend my time with my kids, which we would want and encourage, and we felt the same way for that. But we also need to have those conversations. How do we find the time to have the conversations?
One thing, and this is probably the last thing we're going to get to here today, is textbooks. It drives me insane that the textbooks that are being used in the schools in the state of Nevada are so outdated.
Agree.
100%. But
It seems insane. If you're going to spend money on anything.
Take a look at our government books. If you get a chance, for some of our schools, not our AP students.
They're
but
not
some
written
of our
by Abraham Lincoln, I hope.
No, they're not. But Barack Obama is an up-and-coming senator.
Wow.
That's our reality. And the state has been, you know, we've had...
That's really...
Isn't that embarrassing?
Not only is it a stunning statistic, it's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Our students' history is being taught by people that are bringing it in on their own. We have... Our government teachers are doing an excellent job of bringing in those newspapers as much as they can, of saying, okay, we're going to bring you this article, that article. But isn't it more important for us maybe to get a chance to talk about why events are taking place? And how, as government, we should be talking about this a little bit more. How Barack Obama's awesome speech, so obviously my politics is showing, but that's okay, how his wonderful speech at the convention did make a difference. But what about his other speeches? Why aren't they being actually part of the textbooks? That's the problem. We need to be discussing this a little bit more, and we also need to be putting our money where our mouth is. Well, let's start getting those textbooks back up to date.
Well, not only from a Democratic point of view, but if you're talking about Barack Obama as a senator, then you're talking about Donald Trump as a reality show host.
Exactly.
And that's even worse that we are not covering the current events of the day. That's why we have to leave it for now, but thank you both for coming.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
On our next broadcast, candidate for Lieutenant Governor Brent Jones will join us. We'll see you then.